If you were to have met me in person back in 1998, which is when I met my wife, you would have believed that I was drunk most of the time. I wasn't, not most of the time anyway, but I was definitely in a euphoric state because I had found the perfect woman. She was beautiful, she was sexy, and you know what? She loved to have sex. In fact, I remember, here's a quote that she gave me back in those days, that sex was just like breathing or food or water. It was a fundamental requirement for life. Now, who doesn't want to hear a woman that they're sleeping with say those words? It's fundamental to life. You're like, holy shit, I have discovered the hidden gold of the Aztecs or something. It's like I have landed in the perfect world, a beautiful, sexy girl, and all she wants to do is have sex, and she's so committed to it, she believes it is fundamental to life. Oh my God. Oh, what an idiot I was. And if you're talking to a woman, or if you're in a relationship with a woman, and you're in that euphoric state, and she's telling you crap like that, let me just tell you this right now. Don't believe it for a minute. It is a game. She is pulling your chain, my man. She is not what she claims to be. Today, I want to talk to you guys about sex and women and why we men are so easily fooled, why we are so gullible. We just fall for it every single time. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. I remember as a teenager having this really awkward conversation with my father about sex. I remember we're sitting in the family room down in the basement. It was just me and him. We're sitting on the couch, and he's looking really uncomfortable, which made me uncomfortable. And he's trying to talk to me about my penis and how it's like a squirt gun. Or no, it's not a squirt gun, something along those lines. It was a squirt gun involved. I don't remember the details. But how I needed to be really careful with what I did with it. And I needed to understand that women thought about sex differently than men. Now, the whole conversation is kind of a blur, so I'm not getting all the details right, and I'm sure he did the best that he could. But I remember walking out of that conversation not knowing anything more than what I knew going in. I believe I'd already had sex at that point, so him talking to me about it made me feel like, I'm way ahead of you, man. I got it all under control. Oh, you know, that's another thing about us men, man. We think we know it all. Like, I don't care what stage of development you're in as a man. It's hard to convince you that you don't know what you're doing. There are very few guys, especially when it comes to sex, who are willing to admit that they have no clue. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure any of us has a clue. I was counting them up the other day. I've been with at least 30 different women in my life, and I still don't think I know what I'm doing. I still think sometimes I'm pretty easily fooled. You know, I can definitely fall into that trap because it's just such a sweet trap. I mean, it's just everything that you want. It's like, I don't know, it's like offering food to a starving man. And then once you start eating, you realize that it's been like the walls are closing in around you. You know, you're like in that Star Wars thing where the trash compactor starts squeezing you. And that's basically what happens to us over and over and over again. Young guys in particular are very, very vulnerable to this. It's very easy for a woman to entrap a man with sex. But for a man under the age of, say, 30, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, women just have it so easy, especially an attractive woman. They will use sex overtly to develop a relationship with a man and to establish themselves as a key player in that man's life. That is what they do. I know you guys are thinking, John, you're being cynical. That is not the case. Women love us for who we are. They just want to be with us. No, my friend, they want what you have to offer. There's something in that relationship, and I'm not gonna just say it's money and resources and all that stuff. I mean, certainly that could be a part of it, but there's some aspect of having you in their life that they want. Maybe it's just a company, having someone there. Maybe it's the having a boyfriend. Maybe it's to impress their friends. Maybe it is for protection and for safety and security. Maybe it's to create a world for themselves. They had a vision for their lives and they want you as the man playing the role in that life. But they have a vision for how you're gonna fit into it. And they are gonna use sex as a method to get you to commit to their vision of the world. And it works a lot of the time. I would say it works more than 80, maybe 90% of the time on most men, we will fall for it because we don't realize it. And not only that, but they are just so sweet and they're just so honest and so virtuous. You know, our thought processes around them and what we think of as expressions of virtue and honesty, we look into their eyes and that's all we see. That's all we see. That's all we've been taught to see. I mean, everything about our biology has us looking into those beautiful eyes and seeing in that pink haze that we are in, this romantic delusion that we're in, that she is just being 100% authentic and honest with us. And I think from a certain perspective, she is being honest as far as she feels like she needs to be in that moment in order to achieve what she wants. Now, I'm not saying that she's being devious. It's not just external it's not just complete deviant behavior. It really isn't. But on a subconscious level, or it definitely is. There's an undercurrent of something going on there. When I look back on the days when I met my wife, my belief system at the time was wrong. My belief systems told me that she was the best I could get. And that was completely wrong. I was completely deluding myself. Now, she was the best that I had had up to that point. Let me just get that clear. Like, there's no question about that she was on balance, you know, in terms of her physical attractiveness, her mental stability, how she could fit into my life, our goals aligned, some spiritual alignment. There was a lot of stuff that was in alignment. So as a whole, she was the best of the bunch, you know? But we weren't talking about a really great bunch there, you know what I mean? So it's not like I had done an awful lot of sorting through women in order to come to the conclusion that she was going to be my wife. It was that I was living alone with my son in a house with a dog, and I had my whole life set up, and I was looking actively for a wife. And I had had a couple of live-in girlfriends before that were complete disasters. And I should have learned from that. I should have understood that more clearly, because I should have analyzed my mistakes and come to terms with what I could do differently in this situation. We had sex on our second date. She came over to my house. She was living in North Carolina. She was in some kind of rehearsals. And she came over to my house to spend the weekend. And we had sex. She spent the night in my room and we had sex that night. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was crazy good. I mean, she was beautiful. She had an incredible body. It was just unreal. And man, I was done right then. I think she knew it and I knew it. Right in that moment, it was like, whew, that has got to happen again and again and again. Like, that was unreal. That was like something out of a movie. That was ridiculous. Like, we got to do that all the time. And all the blood had rushed away from my brain, and I knew in that moment that this was it. I had landed. The eagle has landed. All the logic thought had gone out of my head at that point. And I think on some level, women realize that. They realize that once they take us to those places, in those under those certain circumstances, when you're in that romantic haze and that sex happens, that there is a shift in the balance of power in that relationship. Now you are on some level committed to her in some way. Now, it's not always the case. I mean, I've had one-night stands, and that obviously doesn't happen in those cases. And I've had women who are just curious, just wanted to fool around, whatever. It's all good. I had a friends with benefits relationship a couple times. I've had flings, you know, and obviously those aren't the same. But it's when you're in that dating romantic relationship from the very beginning and it turns into sex, that is when the danger zone has happened, especially if you are really, really attracted to her. I mean, like you're in that frame of mind that I was in, where I was just like bowled over by her. When you're in that bowled over state, these are all enormous red flags. We think this is the best thing that's ever happened. We're telling ourselves how lucky we are to be here. We're euphoria, you know, we're in that state of euphoria. We're 3 feet off the ground all the time. It's just wonderful, wonderful feeling. But it's so delusional. And that's the thing that we don't understand. We are literally on a drug that is blocking our ability to make good decisions. Meanwhile, women, they're not feeling that. I mean, they might be feeling that for different reasons, but it's definitely not just because of the sex. They're seeing how you're fitting into their vision for the future. So my wife was, I think she was right around 30 when I met her. And that's a key number for women, you know? There's family stuff that goes on in their head around that time. They're like, oh, I need to start getting serious. I need to have a serious boyfriend. I need to have someone in my life if I ever intend to have children. If I want to get married and have a home and all that stuff. And of course, I just walked right into it because I already had a child and a home. Like I had most of the accoutrements already in place. You know, all she had to do was step in and everything was set up and ready to go. And so she saw me as the perfect solution to her problem. Her problem was she wanted to get out of dancing because she'd been doing it for, you know, 12 or 13 years. She'd been touring the world. She was tired of it. And she wanted to have a family and she wanted to settle down, and she was 30 years old. So I was the perfect guy to solve her problem. And she was the perfect girl to make me fall into that pink mist because she was beautiful and she was sexy and she told me that sex was fundamental to life. So I was under the spell right from the very beginning. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Yeah, it didn't last very long. So everything was really good until after my daughter was born, my oldest daughter. So that's, we're like 2 years into the relationship now. We've been married for over a year. And so we have, daughter's born. It's been a kind of a traumatic kind of thing. You know, my wife is giving birth for the first time in her life. And, you know, there's a lot of anxiety and stress associated with it. And then bringing home a baby, it's got all kinds of issues associated with it. People don't tell you about how hard it is to come to terms with postpartum depression and anxiety and all this stuff. There's a lot of psychological stuff that goes on with women after babies are born, and most of them deny it. Most of them, they decline to accept the possibility that they are experiencing something like this. But I would wager that most women go through it, and most women probably deny that they're going through anything. But just be aware that if you're going through this first birth with a woman, or any birth with a woman, there's a fairly good chance that she is going to have some kind of postpartum issues. So as a part of the birth, we had an episiotomy. If you don't know what that is, that's when they sew up all the good stuff down there after the baby comes through, and it can take a while for that to heal. Well, my wife was so distraught over that whole issue that we did not have sex for a very long time, like 6-7 months. The injury was long healed by the time we were finally having sex again. And I could tell everything about our sex life had changed. Like, she was distracted by having a baby. She was finding excuses for not having sex. The stress associated with having a child affected her psychologically and emotionally. Like, everything had just changed so dramatically. It was like I was with a whole nother woman almost instantly. Suddenly, rather than having the fundamental need for sex, like food and air and water, it was the fundamental need for sleep. You know, everything was about her just being tired all the time. And I get it. I mean, she was up a lot at night, and, you know, and the baby is crying and shit like that. But I was chipping in quite a bit too. I was doing my thing. I was helping her as much as I possibly could. So I didn't really think too much of it in the moment. Now I reflect back on it and I can see how the pattern had developed. Because it was from those days that suddenly more and more excuses started to come out for reasons why we couldn't have sex and why our sex life became less and less a part of our relationship. And as our sex life became less and less a part of our relationship became worse and worse and worse. Things started to fall apart. And I tried to convince her. I remember we were sitting watching Oprah. I would watch Oprah with her, for God's sake. I mean, I was all in. I was doing everything I could. And they had, Oprah had some couple on. I don't know if they had written a book or if they had just done this experiment. Their relationship was going through some tough times. And they had sex every day for a year. Like, every day for a year. I mean, they were even having sex in a closet because there were too many people around. So they would have sex every day for a year, and how it had changed their marriage and how it had helped save their marriage. And so I'm like, hey, I think they got a formula there that we can use. That sounds like some good advice. I think we should definitely do that. We should definitely have sex every day for a year. And she said, there is no way we are doing that. That's when I kind of had the sense that I was in this marriage alone. Like she wasn't willing to do whatever it took. She was not willing to put herself out there in order to do what was necessary to help this marriage succeed. It became very clear that I think that what had happened was she realized that after our daughter was born, and then the second one was even worse because that was a mistake, that she was in too deep, that she was out of her depth when it came to her ability as a human being to fill the role of being a mother and a wife. That's what I think what really happened there. And so the stress associated with that made it impossible for her to have a romantic relationship with me. You know, that's basically what it was. And so anytime I would make an advance or try to initiate, I'd get shot down. And so eventually I just stopped making advances and stopped initiating. And then she started complaining to me that I wasn't initiating. Whenever I'd complain about us not having sex, she'd say, well, you never initiate. It's like, well, every time I initiate, you give me an excuse for why you can't. You're too tired, you know, you just ate, you don't feel well, you need to take a shower, whatever it is. There was always some reason why we couldn't have sex. And I think after about year 7 or 8, I think our sex dropped down to like maybe quarterly. You know, maybe a quarterly roll in the hay. And then after about year 10, it was like maybe a few times a year at most. And after about year 15, it stopped almost completely. Just maybe once a year. Honest to God, we were just roommates. It was hell on earth. It truly was. It was hell on earth. It was because and she would walk around the house naked all the time in my room. She was always naked, taking showers, and she loved the way she looked naked. She loved her own body. I mean, she was just all into herself. And all I'm thinking is I just want to bend her over the bathroom, you know, the vanity, and have my way with her. But she was in her own world and not concerned about our relationship or my needs. And she did not understand how critical and how fundamental sex was to me as a man. And I honestly believe that if she had a full understanding of it, if she understood how critically important sex is to a man in terms of having trust and connection in a relationship, that maybe it would have made a difference. I tried to convince her of that. I tried to tell her that that was the case, but she just wouldn't believe me. She didn't understand. And I don't think most women do understand. They think it's just a game that they played to win a guy over. They think it's just the hook they put in the water to catch a fish. They don't realize that for men, the bait at the end of that hook is key to our survival. Like, we need that. And when we don't have it in a relationship, the relationship loses value quickly. It becomes more and more of a dependent relationship where I'm just supporting you and I'm paying your bills and I'm listening to your silly stories and your sad stories and I'm being your therapist and I'm doing all this stuff for you, and all you're doing is taking advantage of it. You know, you think that it's okay that we're just good friends. Like, that's the way marriages go, that eventually that they lose their romantic edge, that they become less sexy, that as we get older, sex isn't important anymore. And that's not the case at all. I can tell you, I'm at age 60 right this minute. Sex is as important to me now as it was 20 or 30 years ago, if I'm in a romantic relationship. I won't go bend over backwards. I won't do everything I can to get it anymore. But if I'm in a romantic relationship, sex is going to be a critical element of that relationship. And without it, there's no, to me, there's no relationship. It's just a good friendship. And that's all it is. I think one of the things that, in reflection, I could have done that might have made a difference, I don't know, is if in the beginning, when we were still connecting and still in that pink haze, if I explained to her at that point how critically important sex was to my connection to her, that physical element of connection
opens the door to the psychological, emotional, and spiritual aspect of who I am. And when I'm not getting that physical connection, and we don't have that pillow talk, and we don't have that time in bed next to each other, just in that post, you know, sex haze where you're just relaxing and you're cuddling, that's the time when those kinds of communications occur. That's when you open up. That's when you let your guard down as a man. That's when you feel closest to your partner. And I needed to help her understand that, because I don't think she did. I don't think she did at all, because that's not what she's experiencing. I think maybe on some level she is, but not the same way that I am. And maybe if she had understood that, I could have used that at some point in the future, maybe after our daughter was born, to help reconnect and help her understand the stakes here. Because I don't think at that time in our lives she would have wanted to lose our marriage. I don't think she would have wanted a divorce. But because she was in control of the sex, because she had the gateway to sex, and she was making all the decisions for sex, and she didn't understand the stakes, because of her lack of knowledge and understanding and the way men are and the way sex is so important to us in relationships, our relationship just faded away. It just, as our sex life died, so did our relationship. And actually our relationship lasted a lot longer than our sex life, but only because I was committed to hoping that we could get back on track. Because those first couple years were so blissful, they were so wonderful, I thought that somehow I've got to get back to that place. I've got to get back to that place where everything was right. Because for a couple years there, everything was. It was incredible. It was extraordinary. And it was like a dream come true. And once you've tasted that, you kind of want to get it back, you know? But I don't think that she understood the whole concept of it. And I think that's why our sex life died, and that's why our marriage died. So if you're in a relationship with a woman and you're at that pink haze stage where you're just enjoying the romantic, you know, euphoria of new love, have that talk, you know? Talk to her about what it means, why sex is so critically important to you, what it does to your connection, why the health of your relationship is dependent on some level to your ability to have this physical connection, and how without it, your relationship is going to suffer. It's going to eventually stagnate, and it very well could end without that physical connection. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. In the meantime, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.